that you have, you're talking about something new. Guess what time of the year it is? New Year's, right? So the word new in the Greek is kainos, and it means fresh. I like that. Make things fresh. It means not yet used, and it means unusual and interesting. So it's not just new in the sense of I go to the store and buy something new. It has much more to it. To be unusual, to be interesting, and to be fresh. In the book of Revelation, you have new used to describe many things. You have a new heaven. You have a new, led you to that one. A new song, a new wine, a new body, a new name, and a new Jerusalem. All within the book that is at the end, interestingly enough. So what things can you think of that have the word new as part of their name? That's one. New York. Okay, we've got New York, New Hampshire, New Jersey, and where do we live here? New England. Hello. So we have the new year, right? What else? See, that was the easy part. New beginning? What? New moon, thank you. How about newspaper? Or Newsweek? There are lots of things, if you really take the time to think about it, that have new as a concept, as part of the name. And when you looked at New York and New England and New Hampshire and New Jersey, they were new because these were names that came from, right. And so you had, it's interesting when you look at the names that states have in our country, the states that were formed at the beginning, you know, the original 13 colonies, all of their names come from England. Okay? But then as the states were added, you had things. Do you know what Massachusetts is named for? Thank you, Mercedes. I was going to be really worried. It's like, come on. It's an Indian tribe, a Native American tribe. And so you have several states that carry names like that that are related to Native Americans. But then as you add the later states, you add Hawaii, okay, that is a new name. That's not part of the original naming of the states. And so is it fresh? Is it unusual? He wants to be a preacher. This is good. This is good. Can't start them too young. It's awesome. So how about scriptures that contain the idea of something being new? I'll help you. Ecclesiastes 1:9, you've heard this many times. What has been is what will be, and what has been done is what will be done. There is nothing new under the sun. In the Psalms, the concept of new is used many times. Here are a couple of examples. Psalm 40, verse 3, He put a new song in my mouth, a song of praise to our God. Psalm 51:10, you've heard this too. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and put a new and right spirit within me. These are familiar? Okay, Lamentations. How often do we preach from Lamentations? Why would I preach a lament on New Year's? Because chapter 3, verses 22 to 23, and I'm going to ask you a question about this, so listen carefully. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. What song comes from that verse? Hello. So when we're singing, you know, morning by morning, new mercies I see, that comes from the book of Lamentations. So now you learn something maybe new for you. Jesus talked about new wine and new wineskins, did he not? And then Paul writes, therefore, this is to the Corinthians, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new, what? Creation. Yeah, it could be creature in a different translation. The old has gone, the new has come. So we see Jesus, we see God as a creator, always creating, and an innovator, and we're to be made new in Him. Do you want to be new? Really? Really? You sure? You want to be new? I want that new body. I can tell you that. I would like that part. It's hard, actually, to be comfortable with the idea of being totally new, to be fresh, to be unusual, and yet it's what we're called to be. Ephesians 4, verses 22 to 24 says this, "You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness." How in the world do we do that? I don't know about you. I can't even keep New Year's resolutions. I've stopped putting them. I don't go there anymore. I think about it. I go, I should do it. No, I know I'll fail because the vast, vast majority of New Year's resolutions don't go through. Maybe you always make yours, right? Do you always keep your resolutions? Thank you, Judy. Me neither. Fortunately, Paul doesn't stop there in his letter to the Ephesians. I love that these following verses explain to me how I'm supposed to take off that old self and put on the new self. Because I do want to be new. I want to be fresh. I want to be unusual. I'm sure that surprises you. So it's so helpful to me when Paul writes something that says, don't do this, do this instead. Okay, so listen, and we'll go through these verses. This is chapter 4, verse 25. "Therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to his neighbor, for we are all members of one body." So what are we talking about here? What does it mean to put off falsehood? Stop lying. Falsehood is lying, telling lies. And people tell lies more than they care to admit. Paul says, stop it. Stop it. Speak the truth to your neighbor because we are part of one body. We're not to harm other parts of that same body. Verse 26, "In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry, and do not give the devil a foothold." How do you not sin when you're angry? Is angry okay? Okay, there's a whole thing. You could read books and books and books about righteous anger, right? But in that anger, do not sin. Well, in this pattern of saying, do not do this instead, he is saying, do not let the sun go down on that anger. In other words, work it out. Get it done. Don't simmer and sputter and stay angry and angry and angry, because that brings seeds of bad things into our hearts. And then we will sin. We will sin. Verse 28. "He who has been stealing must steal no longer, but must work, doing something useful with his own hands, that he may have something to share with those in need." Stealing is not just taking an item, right, that belongs to somebody. There are other things you can steal from people. And yet, Paul doesn't just say don't steal. He says get to work, make something with your hands that you can share with people who are in need. Can you imagine if every person who's in prison for stealing had to, on his or her parole, do something to help somebody else? Maybe they would not be reoffend so often if they're concentrating on the positive. We can put this same idea into place for us. Verse 29. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. What is unwholesome talk? The word in the Greek for unwholesome is the word that's used to describe the smell of rotten fish. Ew. Ew. Unwholesome talk. Okay, so if we may not understand totally what unwholesome talk is, but let's see what he says to do instead. He says, what is helpful for building others up according to their needs? Did you notice the word in there that probably makes it hardest? Helpful for building others up according to their needs. Not our needs, not manipulation, not because we're uncomfortable, but to say, you know, I can look at Nor, can I pick on you? And just say, what does Nor need from me? What can I say to her that she needs to hear? Okay? That's different than just saying something nice. It's actually paying attention to the other person, listening to them, sensing them, and saying to yourself, asking yourself, what does that person need to hear to build them up? Can you imagine what it would be like if every word uttered in this place was uttered in that way? That would be a church that people could not stay away from. Because we have so little of that in our society. That's not what the advertisers tell us. That's not what people around us tell us. Can you imagine going into Walmart? I'm sorry, Nora doesn't like Walmart. You can go somewhere else. And saying to someone, looking at them, seeing how they're doing and thinking, what can I say to build this person up? What does he or she need to hear? What a difference we can make in our community if that's the way we looked at things. Verse 30 says, do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. How do we grieve the Holy Spirit, do you think? What grieves the Holy Spirit? Unwholesome talk. Probably this whole list of don'ts, right? Sin grieves the Holy Spirit. And then Paul says, he gives us a list. This is the not. This is what you get rid of. Get rid of all. Listen to this whole list. Bitterness, rage and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. We don't have those kinds of thoughts. I think we all do from time to time, as hard as we might try not to. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger. I don't brawl. I'll tell you that. I don't go brawling. But brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. And listen to what we're to do instead. Be kind. Be compassionate with one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. That's what we focus on, being kind. Building each other up. Helping one another. This passage is all about goodwill, not ill will. Hey, Christmas time, peace on earth, goodwill to men and women. Thank you. So goodwill is doing what it takes to build each other up. So what are the odds? Don't answer this. Please don't answer this. What are the odds that you will leave here today and put those words that you heard from Paul into practice? I tried to find the statistic. I couldn't find it. Once upon a time, I had a statistic for how many people actually try to live the sermon, right? And the article says something like, if you have somebody that's talking about the sermon for 5 minutes afterward, consider it a win. If they're talking about it an hour afterwards, consider it a huge win. Okay? So there's a story that I found kind of amusing that, yeah. Soren Kierkegaard tells a tale about a make-believe country where only ducks live. One Sunday morning, all the ducks came into church, waddled down the aisle and into their pews and squatted. Then the duck minister took his place behind the pulpit, opened the duck Bible and read, "Ducks, you have wings, and with wings you can fly like eagles. You can soar into the sky. Use your wings." The ducks yelled, "Amen!" And they waddled home. Yeah. Yeah. Are you going to waddle home? Or are you going to fly? That's the question here. We don't change because it's hard. We don't change because we really don't want to. It's a lot of work. A lot of work. We have to fight. We have to find in the core of our being why we need to change and believe in it. Make it number one priority. People might stop drinking or using drugs when what happens? Say that again?
They hit bottom.
They hit bottom. They get arrested. They lose things because of what they do. People might start exercising when... We go, nothing is going to work for that. We might start exercising when the new year begins. Is that what you said? How about when you've had a health scare? Something like that. People might stop smoking when... There you go. You get the idea. You get the idea. When do we decide to make number one serving and pleasing God? How do we show Him how much we appreciate what He has done for us? Do you know how loved you are? Do you realize that? And in response to that love, we are to put on that new self and make a difference. This week brings the beginning of a new year and a new decade. How will we respond to living out this message? How will we respond to living out our mission here in the church and as individuals, each going our own way? I thought of the song from Casting Crowns about life, you know, the life song. Let my life song sing to you, right? I want to sign your name at the end of this day, knowing that my heart was true. That is my challenge. To live in such a way going forward into this new year that you know that God is happy to sign His name to your day because you have done your best to live in a way that's pleasing to Him. Amen? Let's pray, please. Lord Jesus, thank you for this opportunity to start anew, a fresh beginning, a new beginning. Lord, stir deep within us right now, deep within us, the desire to put on that new self and to get rid of the old self. Lord, each time that we falter, give us a little tap on the shoulder to remind us what you would have us do. Lord, thank you for all that you have done for us and for how much you love us. Let us respond in love to you. It's in your name we pray. Amen.